Thank you for joining us on After Dark with Rob and Andrew here on America Out Loud Talk Radio. It's been an action-packed year on America Out Loud, which is available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Pandora. And don't miss anything over at AmericaOutLoud.com, which is loaded with great articles and countless hours of podcast. We're very excited for the show tonight. We've got another combat-tested veteran, David McGrath, is going to be joining us to talk about his experience in Afghanistan, his thoughts on the botched withdrawal from the Biden administration, and a whole lot more. We're very excited to talk to David McGrath tonight. But first off, Rob, what we've been seeing in the media ever since this entire Afghanistan debacle is our American media is desperate to cover this up any way that they can, whether it's spending days talking about this new Texas abortion law, whether it's Joe Biden throwing unvaccinated people under the bus. Joe Biden is desperate to talk about anything right now other than his failure in Afghanistan and the 13 dead soldiers as a result of his incompetence at his position. Just seems to be a theme in the media. It's just letting him get away with it, letting the story disappear. But as I said before, we're not going to let this story disappear here on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. And we're very excited to have David on tonight. But first off, Rob, how are you doing?
Andrew, I'm doing good. I want to thank all of our listeners for joining us tonight. And as you said, the shows that we've had recently, we have really tried to bring the subject matter home to our listeners, wanting our listeners to understand and to see exactly what's happening out there. Because we know that the mainstream media is trying to obfuscate and not put the truth out there. And if they are, they're trying to do a spin. And I predicted this with the fall of Afghanistan. And when they all came out and said, Joe, what were you thinking? Joe, this looks like a catastrophe. You had CNN saying it. You had Jake Tapper. You had Rachel Maddow. You had ABC News, CBS. They were all after Joe saying, Joe, you just messed up. But sure enough, it wasn't long before they started looking at the numbers, the polling numbers, and said, let's hit the reset button. We won't be able to get our photo opportunity for 9/11. Joe has really screwed up. So we need to hit the reset button because we don't want the American people to turn their backs on him. We know that he's senile. We know that he's not up to doing the job. Send out the memo, make certain that big tech censors and silences everyone that goes against Joe Biden, because we need to move on. And that's what they're doing. They are moving on, as Joe did in Afghanistan, leaving our fellow Americans behind enemy lines, blaming them for not wanting to leave, blaming the Taliban for not wanting them to leave or trying to prohibit them from leaving. And then just recently, they're coming out saying that the Taliban, they're professionals, that they're our business partners. What? A terrorist group? Professional? Business partners? When we see the pictures of them beating women for being out in the streets, for them beating reporters for reporting on their treatment of women? But they're our business partners? Andrew, when did we become business partners with the terrorist? And then the spin, we've got to do this in order to get our fellow Americans home. But I thought you said that they wanted to stay there. I don't get it. I'm confused. And then that brings us to our woke generals, our very woke generals that are doing everything to destroy the military, doing everything to water down the military. As Julie Hall told us, Colonel Julie Hall, who's running for office in Massachusetts, she told us what the Army is for. They have a mission. They fight, they achieve the mission, and they come back home. All this other wokeism, save that for someone else. But at the rate we're going, we will run everyone out of the military, that it would be so woke that the soldiers will have pink fatigue. Not that there's anything wrong with it, other than the fact that it would stand out if you're trying to hide from the enemy. if you're in war. But that's what it's going to come to, Andrew, because we're trying some social experiment that no one else in the world is trying. China is telling their army, you need to toughen up. Get to physical education classes. We need for you to toughen up. We need to take down all this craziness that we see coming on TV. And I will use their word, girly men. Take it down. But the United States, we're trying to be woke. We're sending out brochures and memos saying that men can have babies. They're birthing people. Men can menstruate. Why is there an attack on men, by the way? What's wrong with being a man? You need a man to keep society going. Oh, but I forgot. We can have in vitro fertilization. We're telling women, you don't need a man. We're telling women, men are bad. We have got to wake up because this country is falling down and it will not be able to get back up when Joe Biden gets done. I just heard that he decided to restructure, reorganize, or to fire everyone that's on the military boards because they don't have the same thought process as the Biden administration. Well, excuse me, I didn't know that it was a political thing. I thought it was based upon your expertise, your skill set. West Point, and all of our other esteemed academy bases, where our generals come from. Well, the generals that we have now, they're so woke. Mark Milley, Lord Austin, shameful. And of all the people for them to play this game with, this so-called wokeism, I thought General Jack Keane, a former Pentagon senior advisor, are you serious? Jack Keane, whom Trump had tried to get on his administration, he said, no, I'll just stay where I am. You're going to kick him off simply because you say that he's not woke enough or he's calling out your administration? This is not good. And you want to tell me that the American people voted for this guy, for Joe Biden, who thinks that there's another word for tornadoes? Andrew, this isn't good. This will not end well at all. It will not end well. We're only 8 months into this administration, and it seems like a lifetime, and not in a good way, but the way they are destroying this country, destroying the tenets of this country, critical race theory, teaching black and brown kids to hate white kids, teaching white kids that they're bad people, men, telling men, hey, you're toxic. The real man is a transgender who's part man, part woman. On the outside, he looks like a man, but still has a female body part so that she can have a baby. And you better call that person a man, because if you don't, we're going to come after you. Corporations, you need to change all that stuff there and make it he, his, or whatever. And you better get with the plan. And by the way, you cannot go back to work unless you've been vaccinated. And we're going to force you to be vaccinated, because if you don't, you don't need to be a part of society. And Hollywood is going to agree with us, because this is what we want. And like sheeples, people will run and do it. And I've heard that the people pushing back on the vaccination are people with PhDs. Now, you guys say that Trump people are dumb, so they don't have PhDs. And the other group that's not taking the vaccine, black and brown people. So another form of discrimination. You want to tell them, oh, you got to get at the back of the bus. You can't participate in society because you don't have the backs. Oh, and by the way, don't worry about having an ID to vote, because you don't need that. But you need an ID to get that backs. Andrew, this is not going to end well at all. It is not going to end well. My fellow Americans, it is time to wake up. It is time that we push back. And I'm not talking about going out and getting your guns and doing all this. I'm not saying that. But if they keep pushing what they're pushing, turning people against people, it will be an all-out civil war in the United States. And you heard it first here on After Dark with Robin Andrew, because you can only push a person so much. And I'm telling you, what's happening right now, it has to stop. We've got to wake up. So on our show tonight, as Andrew mentioned, is David McGrath. I had the pleasure of meeting him after we had a guest on our show, Vinod Malhat. You guys might have recalled that interview. And he had expressed to us a desire of trying to get his family out of Afghanistan. Vinod was a translator for 2 years for America. Thankfully, he was able to get out way before the disastrous withdrawal by President Biden. So on our show, he said that if anyone could help him, and I recalled having on the show also Colonel Julie Hall, and she had mentioned this expedition or plane called the Pineapple Express. And she explained that it was a plane that was doing flights from the United States to Afghanistan to help some of our men and women, Americans, behind enemy lines. So she then put me in contact with David. David served, I think, 30 months in Afghanistan. He's going to talk to us about that. Now, I can only imagine, or I can't, I don't want to say that I can only, I cannot imagine what he felt when he saw the withdrawal, the disastrous withdrawal by the so-called commander-in-chief, Joe Biden. Now, we had Joe Kent on, and he talked to us about it also. And he told us what he thought about the generals, knowing that this was going to be disastrous, but they didn't care. So we thought it'd be beneficial to bring someone else on who had served in Afghanistan, a soldier, an American patriot, to get his thoughts on what happened. So without further ado, David, how are you tonight?
Great, guys. Thank you so much for keeping this on the front burner as much as people want to turn the page. It's guys like you who will hold this administration accountable and keep this in the news and keep people talking about it. So thank you.
Yeah, we've got to, because as I said in my opening, they want to pivot. David, they want to pivot. It is as if, though, your service and the service of the fallen 13 and the others that are there and those who have been there, that it doesn't matter. And knowing that the Taliban, 9/11, we've had 9/11, and the Taliban putting into power terrorists that had terrorized us. Now, can you imagine how the families felt during the ceremonies of 9/11, knowing that at the same time, the Taliban was putting into power their evil regime? It's unfathomable. But yet and still, here we are. So, David, yes. Take us back to when you were in Afghanistan.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, there's two people I think about watching the bungling of this pullout. And one of them is a woman I was speaking with today who, a great friend of mine was a soldier named Kyle Kotu, who was killed just 2 months after his high school graduation in southern Afghanistan. He was shot in the head by a sniper bullet. And I still keep in contact with his mother 10 years later. And the only thing I could say to her was, hey, you know, I'm thinking about you. And her response, of course, was, hey, I'm thinking about you. And I thought that was pretty apropos for the type of people that raise men who go on to join the military. That said, I felt like I needed to mention that because there's a real, you know, human toll of 20 years of hardcore war with an enemy that is often made fun of in the media. You know, we lost to a bunch of 7th century goat herders wearing, you know, man robes, but these are some of the hardest people to ever exist. So I like to dispel that myth. I mean, I've gone up against these guys many, many, many times, and these guys are tough. All they know is war from a young age. We raise our kids, and, you know, I have two boys, and you know, they spend most of their time playing with their dog and coloring, and these little boys are raised to hate America from day one. I think there's a lot of misconceptions about Afghanistan. You know, first and foremost, I was written many, many times that I don't think we ever should have pulled out. And I've gotten tremendous blowback from the veteran community. And I think it started with Donald Trump, who I voted for, but, you know, I don't have to agree with everything. And sort of his sloganeering was no endless wars. And, you know, guys, this war had been at a stalemate for the last 2 years. We had really gotten it into a position where no Americans were getting hurt. The Taliban was at bay. The real fighters in the region, the Haqqani network, which I'm sure we'll get to, who really run the war and who are really our big enemies over there, were all in Pakistan, beat back. And the reason being is in the last 4 years, on the world stage, I mean, these guys really believed that Donald Trump was capable of anything, and he was looked at as sort of a loose cannon. He did drop the Moab, the mother of all bombs, which people don't realize, outside of going nuclear, that was the biggest bomb the United States had ever dropped outside of 1945. And we had really put them in their place, and things were kind of at a loggerhead, you know, and we were keeping a very small footprint of 2,500 guys. So I don't think that the sloganeering of no endless wars really helped. All that said, you know, this sort of, you know, it's all by design. Nobody is this dumb. Guys like General Milley and Lloyd Austin, who were never known as bright generals, let's just be honest, for anybody who served under them like me. Mark Milley was never known as bright. Lloyd Austin was a corporate swamp creature who did just enough to get himself on the board of a big top secret defense company and then get dragged back in by the Biden administration. Nobody really believed that these guys were going to do anything but keep status quo. And when the pullout started happening overnight, it made total sense to me. Their whole goal is to demoralize the military the same way that they've demoralized the police force here and make them into their military, just like we're making the police force into their police force, you know, a police force that goes after their enemies, like, you know, chain smoking grandmothers outside the Capitol on January 6th, all the while leaving, you know, BLM and Antifa thugs alone. And that's what they're trying to make the military. They're going to get rid of all the guys who are red-blooded American patriots who were raised by virulent anti-communist father like me. And they're going to turn it into a 21st century woke military that goes after, you know, the Taliban for not having enough women in their cabinets, you know? So that's sort of, you know, my initial thoughts on what happened is, of course it happened like that. This is Joe Biden. This is a bag man for China who has 50 years of being the dumbest member of the Senate. He wasn't even allowed in the room for most of Barack Obama's main decisions in his presidency. And you can read that in multiple books. Barack Obama was quoted as once saying, never underestimate Joe's ability to F things up. And he's just not a smart guy. And I would have never expected him to be able to pull off anything like this. So,
David, something that you said that I think is worth dissecting a bit further, and that is Lloyd Austin and Mark Milley and the entire apparatus there, what they're trying to do to the military. Because as I said in my opening, they're definitely trying to take out strong men, well, men as a whole. And Colonel Julie Hall, when she came on our show, the first time she came on, she gave us the sort of, profile of what the Army is looking for. And she was so clear about it. And what you see that's happening now is that you pull out, as you said, to demoralize the men that are there, make them feel as if though, you know, you're worthless, you can't do anything. And as Joe Kent told us, he has spoken to a lot of soldiers that are now saying, I was going to stay in here for 20 plus years or 25 years, but I'm getting out now. I don't want this anymore.
Now, it's just so unfortunate.
Yep. Right. Just imagine if they're getting out, look at what we're left with. We're left with soldiers that are going to look up to Lloyd Austin and Mark Milley and see them as being gods because, oh, they let us come in and they let us wear pink nail polish. They let us come in. And the only thing we need to be concerned with the Taliban is that they don't have enough women in their office. As our Secretary of State recently said, we looked at the people that they have surrounding them and we don't see any women. For God's sake, man, these are killers. They're murderers. Do you actually think they're going to have women? Is that your only concern?
It really goes to show you what these people place a priority on. I heard the same thing from Secretary Blinken, who, you know, again, when we're talking about just mediocre human beings in this administration, I think you have to start with Anthony Blinken. The guy should have resigned, you know, the day after the attacks in Kabul. But Secretary Blinken is, I mean, he was the worst appointee of an administration that made bad decision after bad decision on its appointees. I mean, you have people like Susan Rice in this administration. You know, it's basically Obama part three. And the reason why you got a former game show host in 2016 as your president is because of the failures of Barack Obama, not racism or sexism against Hillary Clinton. It was because the country understood the managed decline by the elites and we needed to change something. That said, yes, General Mark Milley is gutless. He's a coward. 1 year ago in the Trump administration, I know for a fact, I can tell you this, this man walked around talking about America first, blah, blah, blah. He was, you know, on the first day of Donald Trump's administration, he got all the generals of the Joint Chiefs of Staff in the room and basically called them losers and said, you can't win anymore. You don't know how to win. He put them in their place and he put the military industrial complex in its place and said, hey, this is what we're going to do now. Figure out how to get us out of here so we don't have a large footprint. We're not spending $1 trillion a year or $100 million a month is what I've heard in some places like Brown University. we're not going to have this succubus on the American people anymore, and we're not going to put our soldiers in danger. And that upset them, and the leaks began forever and ever. I mean, they almost pulled all the soldiers out before Donald Trump's presidency ended, but then you had the fake New York Times story about the Russian soldiers putting bounties. Again, that said, Mark Milley is a careerist, a yes man, and all he's thinking about is his parking spot at Raytheon or some defense contract, and he'll sell anybody out to get there. And those generals don't win wars, and history does not look kind upon them. And I truly hope that 10 years from now, 15 years from now, we can have another conversation and go, what a coward Mark Milley was, because there's 13 babies who had to get sent home, you know, to their parents. I just talked to one of the brothers of Nicole G, and these families are irrevocably shattered. And for what? A bagman from China, Joe Biden, you know, a guy who, you know, allegedly got 81 million votes. And that's another thing, guys, you know, not to go on forever, but there's a lot of anger against Biden right now. Everywhere he goes, he gets heckled. You know, he's a complete disaster.
Now, I want to unpack a couple more things here. A name that we have not had the opportunity to dissect, Susan Rice. Now, do not doubt that Susan Rice did not have her hand in this whole debacle, because she did. I had forgotten all about her. I thought about it the other day, and then it just went, you know, blank. But when you mention her, I'm like, oh, there's my opportunity. Susan Rice is encamped in the White House feeding Joe information from Barack Obama, who's probably in his basement in his sweats, drinking a martini or twerking with Michelle or Jay-Z and Beyonce. Let's just be honest. This guy's a lightweight. He was there for 8 years. Status quo. He did no harm. He didn't break it. Although he was embarrassed on the world stage with Syria, because they danced all over and probably pissed on that red line. But then Trump had to come out and say, I don't think so. I don't play that way. But Susan Rice is feeding information to Joe Biden. Now, Tony Blinken, I agree. He should have resigned the moment this started going south. And if you recall, David and Andrew, and I've said this before on the show, John McCain, God rest his soul, did not care for him. But John McCain stood on the floor of the Senate, I think it was in 2014, and he cautioned his fellow senators. And he said, Tony Blinken should not be anywhere near the Capitol. He is a danger to America. And this is when they were trying to get him to be the Undersecretary of State. Tony Blinken, he called him out. Now, of course, the media is in love with John McCain now that he's dead. And right before he died, they just fell in love with him. All he could do no wrong. Well, he was dying. He was near death's doorstep, and he didn't like Trump. So of course they were going to love him. And now that he's dead, he can't do them any harm. Oh, he's like their God. But for them to go back and play this tape with him warning people about Tony Blinken, quiet as is kept. We need to get rid of these guys because, as I said in my opening, they are a threat to America, and it will not end well. We must get rid of them. But how do we do it? Because Joe isn't going to fire any of them unless the media says, oops, now how are we going to spend this? You got to let these people stay in place. But these people will have us killed. They will get us killed. Look at what they're doing to the military. This is by, as you said, David, this is by design. They are destroying the military. It is by design. And then China will roll right in and take over. Our country will be separated. We will have terrorists on one end. We'll have the lawlessness on one end, and then we'll have law-abiding citizens looking at this. Then you have the elitists on the other end protected. That is what they want with this country, to rip it apart, to rip apart the United States of America. And if we don't get this under control by the next decade, the United States of America will cease to exist.
And one other thing on Blinken, Rob, he was once quoted that is saying America is a country in decline. This man is the Secretary of State, and he believes that this country is not worthy of saving. If you start from that viewpoint, what wouldn't you do? Why would you care about a bunch of US soldiers coming home in flag-draped coffins? What would you care about United States civilians? You wouldn't care. Exactly. Why would you care about the optics of leaving the most strategic post that we own in the world, Bagram Airfield, that sits 100 miles from China, and Iran, our two biggest enemies, and it's right in the middle of Afghanistan. You wouldn't care about any of that. These people don't believe that this country is worth saving. Their optics don't matter. Their voters are dumb enough. They're going to continue to vote for them as long as there's a D next to their name. They're never going to lose power because they'll just steal elections anyway. There is no fallout at all. And that's why you see Blinken on the world stage embarrassing us day after day by kowtowing to China like he did last month with that feckless embarrassment.
Completely disgraceful. Yeah,
he doesn't like this country. And there was a question that I wrote about, I believe in Breitbart, wherever, leading up to the election. And it was essentially, how can you govern a country that you hate exactly like this, Rob?
Disgraceful.
Disgraceful.
Why this guy is there, being pushed out there. And I don't know if you guys remember, I'm sure you do, when he came out, when all of this was falling down, the look on his face, he was as white as snow. He was terrified. The general was coming out, Lord Austin, he was terrified. His lips quivering, Miley's lip quivering. When we saw before our very eyes, all of this falling to pieces, falling apart. And, you know, I wonder if CNN, maybe Andrew Cuomo, or Rachel Maddow, I wonder if they were sending memos to the White House saying, hey, this is how we could spend this for you, but you got to do this and you got to do that. Because we know that Andrew Cuomo is subject to doing it because he did it with his brother. You know, he was telling his brother what to do and what not to do with this whole sexual harassment fiasco. So I wouldn't at all be surprised if they're sending memos to Jen Psaki and saying, hey, Jen, this is what you need to do because this is how we're going to spin the story to make Joe look good. They're all in cahoots. They're all colluding. We see it before our very eyes. And you know what? There is not a damn thing we can do about it because elections that are stolen have consequences.
Yeah, absolutely right. And we see it every time Joe Biden has a press conference and his questions are always prearranged. He knows exactly who to call on and he already knows what the questions are going to be before they are even asked. You know, if you're looking for better sleep, focus, and energy, check out Healthy Cell, the leading innovator of nutritional supplements for cell health. They come in a great tasty gel pack. So if you don't like pills, Healthy Cell is perfect for you. So if you want to try out a great product, try out Healthy Cell. Go to healthycell.com and with the code OUTLOUD, you can save 20%. You are listening to America Out Loud Talk Radio, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, or download the America Out Loud app. We'll be back with more on After Dark with Robin.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races. You toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support, delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM Sleep. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Well, there was a time when Americans could rely on the Fourth Estate. Well, in these challenging times, the media is both reckless and complicit. AmericaOutLoud.com. Top analysis from leading experts, articles, podcasts, video, and 24/7 talk radio. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
And we're back After Dark with Rob and Andrew. And our guest tonight is David McGrath. David joined the military at the young age of 17, a patriot. wanted to give back to this country when he saw that the country was attacked. David, what you did was not in vain, albeit Joe Biden could care less, and he seems not to even know why we went there. But my brother, it was not in vain. And I thank you. Andrew thanks you. I'm sure that our listeners thank you, because you are a true patriot to put your life on the line, to join the military at the young age of 17. I think back when I was 17, and my whole thing was, I'm going to college. I'm not going to the Army. I don't want to go there. I didn't have an understanding as to what the Army did. As a Black man, I was told, don't go there because they're going to put you at the front of the line and you're going to get killed and this and this. And now I look back on it and I'm like, these are patriots, not knowing if they're going to come back. And then their parents, their relatives that are on the other side, praying every day, God, look over my son, protect my son. Living in fear, not knowing that one night or day, someone might come on my porch and knock on my door and tell me that my beloved child is no more. I can't imagine that. And then to find out that Joe Biden, or to see Joe Biden on the tarmac at Dover Air Force checking his watch. No, he wasn't looking at the rosary. Stop trying to give him an excuse. Disgraceful. Very disgraceful. But one of the things I want David to talk to us about is a military-industrial complex. David, explain that to our listeners, please.
Sure. I mean, I think, first of all, you have to understand the people who fight these wars. And I understand that Bo Biden was in the military and had a cushy job as a JAG officer. But I'm talking about the guys who are in the infantry like myself, who are pounding the ground every day, house to house, for very long periods of their life. You know, the youth, the prime years, are never kids of the elites. It's always the deplorables, as I call it, as Hillary Clinton christened us 4 years ago. But, you know, it's the great unwashed, you know, it's their kids that have to bear the brunt of, you know, now 22 suicides a day, 40 million with PTSD, you know, divorces, you know, not knowing your kids, flashbacks, nightmares, whatever. It's never their kids. So when you pay no human cost for it in your own life, and all you do is profit, you know, these generals always go on to these great jobs at defense contractors where they just signed off, you know, while they were still in uniform, for them to get a multi-billion dollar contract to build this road or this school or build this weapon. And it's all a big game. It's a club and you're not in it. And neither am I. And as George Carlin once said, and it's so true, that's the most bare bones way I could describe it, is they love war. And you can see even now, and I'm going to defend Joe Biden, I can't believe I'm doing this, the transcript of his call with Ghani, the former university professor who we installed as the president of Afghanistan, who ran off with $170 million in cash of U.S. taxpayer money. The minute he pulled everybody out of Afghanistan, that very next day, that transcript of that call was leaked, where he talked about him having to put a good face on it and lie so we could keep up the lie that the war was going well. That was immediately leaked to the media because the real people who run this country didn't like what Joe Biden did by ending the war. And that's wrong. And that happened every day under Trump. And the reason why it did is because Donald Trump, every day of his administration, beat the desk to end the wars. And the people who are really in charge, the you know, Joint Chiefs of Staff, the three-letter agencies, don't like that. Because the more boots that are on ground, the more money that gets pumped into the system. And these people pocket it and run off with it, and you never even know about it. And that is the true, in my opinion, the true tragedy of this entire 20 years in Afghanistan, is that we stayed there because a lot of people were getting rich, and it wasn't you, and it wasn't the kids who were working day in, day out. All you care about is a guy to your right and left and getting home to your kids. And you don't think about, am I winning or am I losing? You don't think about, you know, hey, did that school get built? You don't care about any of that. You just want to make it to your bunk that night, maybe take a shower and get right back to it the next day. At least that was my experience. So that is, in a nutshell, the military industrial complex is keep America at war, and the people who really run things will be able to profit from it. And it's never our kids who have to pay the human toll. So at the end of the day, those 13 babies, and I call them that because they were just 20-year-old kids. I believe there was one 30-year-old. So, but to me, those kids are just babies. They were privates. They had no idea what mission they were going in. Can you believe that, Rob? They didn't even know what they were going there for. They weren't even briefed on what they were going to be doing. They had, some of them had never been in country. And you're having these guys, these privates, run security where they had no experience in country, and some of them were in boot camp a year ago. To Joe Biden, those 13 babies that came off, the families already come out and said most of them were Trump supporters. There's no votes in that, in those coffins for him. He doesn't have to pay any human toll. When those mothers and fathers came up to him and he began talking about his son, that just goes to show you. I mean, to this guy, the unwashed, the deplorables, they're better off dead. You know, they don't give a you-know-what about you. And if anybody who's listening to this takes one thing away from what I've said tonight is, at the end of the day, they don't care about you. Those 800,000 refugees that came over were far more important. And we all know why. They're going to be put in swing states tomorrow in Texas, Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio. And they're going to change the voting demographics because they'll be put on the public dole immediately. And they'll vote Democrat for the next 100 years. And at the end of the day, all they really care about is securing more power. So those 13 babies were just collateral damage to them. Joe Biden and the rest of those clowns have completely moved on from it.
David, you spent 30 months in Afghanistan, as you said, in combat. Joe Biden and General Miley claim that none of their intelligence told them that it was going to fall so quickly. Obviously, that's very debatable if they're telling the truth or not. But did you, obviously, you're not subjected to the same intelligence that they get, but were you surprised that Afghanistan fell so quickly to the Taliban?
The youngest private on the ground would have known that it would have. Anthony Blinken came out on a Thursday, I believe, and said, I don't think this is something that's going to happen in a weekend. And it literally fell by Monday. I would have predicted even less time than that. And, you know, let me debunk three things here, guys, and I'll do it quick. The bulk of the blame has gone on the Afghan military. That is BS. The Afghan military is the reason why I am alive today and have children. These people are heroes. They took heavy losses. Some estimate 70,000 Afghan soldiers have been killed. And that's not counting civilians. And I'm telling you, civilians paid a huge toll in the Obama years, especially because we droned everybody all the time. We took away all their air assets. We took away their ability to get any intelligence on the ground. We train them like we get trained, which means we get intelligence, we get to on the spot, and we get air in. We don't fight, you know, the best we can with guns, if we can help it. I mean, sometimes it comes to that, but, you know, and once you took that away from them and their commanders realized that the Americans have hung us out to dry, they quit. And you know what? That's a failure on the administration, Joe Biden, and the generals in charge, not the Afghan military. Two, I am not surprised at all. They have been plotting that for 10 years. The intelligence folks were already out of there a week prior from everything that I've been told. So they had no up-to-date intel. People who have been on the ground there know that the intelligence changed minute to minute, hour to hour. They're lying. They had no idea what was going to happen, and they didn't care what was going to happen. I know that they also put out a brief, the word that they had killed some of the people, some of the planners of the suicide attack. I can tell you that that is absolutely false. The only people who were killed were 9 civilians. The administration knew that. That's why they did not run the names. Joe Biden is so deep in the tank right now with, you know, some approval ratings in the 30s that if they had killed anybody of note, their faces would have been plastered over CNN all day. They didn't kill anybody but civilians. It was a total BS job. And I am not surprised at all. I am really worried about what's going on in the South. We had a bigger base than even Bagram in Kandahar that I have a lot of experience in. I can only imagine what those poor people are going through under Taliban rule. This is really inside baseball, but for the guys who are listening to this who have been there, they know what they do to little boys there. It is absolutely unspeakable what they do to kids. These people are savages. They are cold-blooded. They are taught since birth to hate the West. They will do anything. They've been taught since day one that it will be to your eternal merit if you can kill one American. And if they can make it something that's live on YouTube or somewhere where they can make a real statement, they will do it. I'm surprised we haven't seen it yet. I think it's utterly despicable that people like General McKenzie come out and call them professional and businesslike. I think it's a slap in the face of every Gold Star family and parent, and soldier who has served. And, you know, it's a roundabout way of answering it, but everybody, including General Milley, guys, including Joe Biden, including Anthony Blinken, knew that Kabul would fall quickly, and they didn't care. And they lie right to your face, and they don't have to worry about lying because the media covers for the establishment 100% of the time. And their voters and their base are ready to move on because at the end of the day, his last name isn't Trump, and they're all on this Marxist train, and it's going off the tracks at 1,000 miles an hour. And what are we going to do to stop it? Because we're losing right now.
So what are your fellow military guys, the guys who served with you, what are they saying about Joe Biden and seeing this? You were injured
in yes.
Afghanistan, and you said that you participated in one of the most horrific battle scenes there.
Yep.
So tell us about that and let us know what are you hearing from your fellow soldiers, your brothers who fought alongside you when they saw this happening?
You can type my name into YouTube, David McGrath YouTube, and find a video of us in Kabul in a 20-hour gunfight while Hillary Clinton was visiting the country. She was tweeting about it at the time. It was an absolutely insane chain of events that I would have never thought a kid like me would find himself in. In fact, it happened on September 13th. Ended up with a traumatic brain injury from that day that my doctors have no idea how that's going to affect me moving forward and what my life could potentially degenerate to at an early age. To answer your question, everybody is disgusted. First of all, no Democrat has won the military in 50, 60 years. We are not their constituents. Soldiers are overwhelmingly conservative because we just see Republicans as usually backing us up and loving us. And Democrats will do anything in their power to demoralize us and shame us. And that goes all the way back to the Vietnam War when we were called baby killers because leftists ran the country at the time. And it still goes to this moment. So soldiers hate Democrats for that very reason. We are not looked at as their constituents. So they honestly don't care what we think. I know right now, Rob, of two suicides of people that I know since this has happened. Guys are completely demoralized, emotional. I was way more emotional about it than I thought I would be. I talked to Sergeant G, Nicole G's brother. She was killed in the suicide attack in Kabul. A lot of her unit mates who were with her are just irrevocably shattered by what happened. I mean, you have to think about one death, all the effects on the people who lived with her, fought with her, were there at the moment. Remember, we have 19 brutally injured right now from that suicide attack who didn't die. You don't know their names yet, but they're in hospitals scattered all across the country, and some are outside the country right now. And who knows what stories they're going to tell when the time comes. But, you know, I just feel like the guys who are really, you know, the guys who have been the heaviest burden on them for the past 20 years, guys like myself, I've completely washed our hands of it. You know, somebody said to me yesterday, and I think this is the most patriotic thing I've heard in a long time, Rob. He said, "I hate my government because I love my country." And I think that's the most patriotic thing I've heard in a long time.
Well, that's powerful. Well, David, you joined the military at the age of 17. How you were affected by what happened on 9/11. If you can, tell us what drives a person other than being a patriot, because the left, they just don't get it.
No, they do. That's very true. Well, first of all, I was raised by a father who was a Vietnam War era baby who was a virulent anti-communist. He was one of those guys who would see an American flag and get weepy. I mean, he was an American. And he was very much of stand for your flag, do the Pledge of Allegiance, be respectful, and be about something bigger than yourself. And I have two sons who are biracial. And I tell them the same thing, Robert. I said, do not listen to the BS. This is the greatest country in the world. You hit the lottery when you woke up this morning, something my father used to say to me all the time. You could have been born in Kenya. You could have been born, you know, in the Gaza Strip, dealing with war every day, or Afghanistan or Iraq. You hit the lottery, so be happy. So that really set in motion everything for me. You know, I grew up like that, you know, as a patriot, respecting the military, respecting police. When 9/11 happened, you know, it was much like you guys, I'm sure, my sense of security was destroyed. you know, 9/12 was really a great time to be alive in this country, though, wasn't it? And I remember 9/12 more than 9/11. It was just everybody was together. You walked outside your house. There were flags everywhere. And that's what really got me going. And I'll tell you, I'll never forget the recruiting station that I went to. There was a line around the corner to get into the military. There was a guy there who was 40 years old. He worked in an investment firm. I remember him telling me, you know, I make 5-6 grand a month. I do pretty well in my life. You know, I'm over 100,000, but I gotta put the brakes on and go do what I need to do. And he was 40. Think about that. And that really galvanized me, like, and that set the course for the rest of my life. And it was the best decision I ever made. People say thank you to me often. And I go, listen, man, this was a great honor. The best times of my life were wearing the colors of this country on my right shoulder. And, you know, anybody who tries to denigrate that is, guys like Joe Biden have no honor. They have no moral compass. They are political robots who have been, everything is about votes and how I'm going to look tomorrow. And everything is about optics. And that's everything the military was against that I was in. It was an ultimate meritocracy. Take care of your left and right and what's behind you. And that is the complete antithesis of everything that goes on in DC. And we all know that. And Joe Biden is just the face of that right now. But, you know, that's been going on forever and ever. And guys who come from the military, the reason why they need to be demoralized right now, and they are the number one target of this current establishment, is because they think like me, they talk like me, and they have guts enough to go up against it. And those people need to be stamped out.
Absolutely. And what you just said was beautiful, because you have so many people that don't realize the fact that you were able to wake up in America. And you didn't wake up in some war-torn Afghanistan. You were able to wake up in America and go about your day-to-day task and not have to worry about dodging a bullet, unless you live in Chicago, where Mayor yes. You know, Lightfoot, she's letting things go crazy, and in yep. places in New York. But the fact that you can wake up and you have the freedom, and you have these nitwits who know nothing about anything, walking around saying, oh, this is the worst country to live in, and we're so oppressed, and we're this, and we're that. It's like, wait a minute, put your brakes on. Look at the people at the border that are trying to get here. Look at the people that are trying to flee Afghanistan. If this country is so racist and so oppressive and not fair, do you actually think those people would be coming here in droves, breaking the law to trying to come here? Now, of course, breaking the law doesn't matter, because the Democrats are all for breaking the law. But do you think they would want to come here in a racist country when they can go to other countries? If we're so racist, okay, look at the map. Find the place that you think isn't racist. Find the place that you think is the best and move. Just get out. But they won't. But yet and still, they will buy into that lie. Whereas you, at the age of 17, while these other guys are getting cars, they're going out, they're going to parties, they're getting girlfriends, you decided to defend your country. Patriotism. Because of what your father had taught you. And there are a lot of other parents that are out there that aren't doing that. They're doing a bad job feeding their kids nonsense. And that is a reason why these kids don't take pride in their country. That is a reason why they will fall by the wayside. They will fall for anything. They will stand up and believe all this craziness that a Joe Biden administration is doing. Stolen elections have consequences. And if you sleep, you will snooze. And it is time for us to galvanize ourselves and push back, because we can't allow this to continue to happen. Because if we do, good men like yourself and women will not want to serve in the military, and the military will crash, and then we leave ourselves open. It has to stop.
I couldn't have said that any better. And again, that is for... That is the design of this. Joe Biden is totally owned by China. We know this 100%. The Chinese have already moved into Afghanistan. I have 100% confirmation of that, that the CCP is on the ground, reverse engineering our weapon systems that we stripped down so they couldn't be used, re-engineering our Black Hawks, our armored personnel carriers. They're into our IRIS data system right now, which is the retinal scans that are part of our biometrics, so they can, it's better than DNA. I mean, if you have an iris scan on someone, you know they work with the Americans. The killings have already begun of people who worked with the Americans. Women, I've been told some terrible stories about what they're doing to women right now over there. Our enemies are already moving in. And I fear that much like Black Lives Matter and Antifa are the street soldiers of the Democratic Party, which I can't even call them that anymore. They're just the Marxist Party. Much like the brown shirts were in Nazi Germany, I believe that the CCP is looking at the Taliban as sort of their street army who will carry out what they need to get done. And on the world stage right now, America is a laughingstock, and who thought we would ever say that?
And it's embarrassing.
It's right.
I can't believe it. We are the laughingstock, and they all said that no, they're laughing at us because of Donald Trump. No, as you said earlier on, and your opening is that they thought he was crazy, and I think thinking a person is crazy, it worked.
Yes,
because they would dare do some of the things that they've done. We just came up with 9/11, and look at what they did—the celebration of 9/11, rather—and look at what they did while we were celebrating. They were installing their regime.
Yes.
Regime of terrorists. Now, David, you said that you left the military. What year did you leave the military?
I left the military 3 years ago. Uh-huh. Kids are getting older. I just felt like things were really slowing down. Again, Rob, under Donald Trump, guys really got a nice long break. We were going through endless years of rotations overseas right. under Bush and Obama. And I just felt like the war was winding down. I do feel sad being sidelined right now with what's going on. But yeah, I left in 2018.
So I want to just go back to, again, like 17 sure. years old. I just, I find that so interesting. I take my hat off to you because I think back as to what I was doing when I was 17. I don't know, maybe Andrew's like writing books, but I was like, I didn't know my head from my foot, although I thought I did. But so 17, and then you're sent there.
Yep.
What's on your mind? You're carrying a gun
yep.
at such a young age. How were you able to be so fearless, not knowing a whole lot about anything, but yet and still here you are. You're here. And unfortunately, as you said, there are many others that didn't make it back.
Petrified constantly, just being blunt. I still remember my first ever flight into Afghanistan, coming over the mountains and landing on the airstrip. It is the eeriest country. There are no city lights at all. You can't see your hands in front of your face. Everything is completely blacked out on the bases at night. So you can't walk 2 feet without tripping because the bad guys, if the lights are on, they have rockets that can gather heat seeking, that can key in on targets. It is a very eerie place to be, Afghanistan. It's very hard to describe to people who haven't been there, especially in the north in Kabul. There's four seasons. It's not necessarily as oppressively hot as Iraq, but the views are absolutely beautiful. I often said that, the foreign policy failure in Afghanistan really, let's just be blunt about it. The real failure was 2001. President Bush could have went nuclear on Afghanistan, and the whole world would have agreed with them.
I've always said that.
3,000 of our citizens were slaughtered in the middle of New York City in broad daylight. You had to send a message to these people that we run the world. We are the superpower. Why we're scared to do that even to this moment, I don't know. I have my theories. Leftists run the country, and they're too worried about what people like Ilhan Omar are going to say about it. And she's a fringe figure. In the end of the day, George Bush could have leveled the place and built hotels in the Middle East, and we'd all be okay right now today, and we wouldn't have this. But he didn't do it for whatever reason. And I understand you open up that nuclear Pandora's box, and now everybody's pointing nukes at each other, and that's not a good thing either. But I think the world in Congress and the Senate would have all agreed that we have to put these people in their place once and for all, and we didn't do that. So that being said, this whole nation building thing that we were doing, that didn't work. And the generals lied forever. I mean, they lied to every president about how things were going. We all knew it was terrible. Listen, we would bring the Afghan soldiers in. We would train them. They'd shoot you in the back. The green on blue killings were constant there. You trust nobody, when you're on the streets every day. I had a very kinetic job. I was out 12 hours a day amongst the populace. So, yeah, I mean, I can't tell you that I'm very brave. I would say I am you know, I we would train up for a year before going. I would know the terrain. I knew where I was going to go. I knew where I was going to live. I knew what language they spoke. I knew all the enemies in the area. And that's what makes this whole thing with these kids so egregious in Kabul, that they were just thrown there with no training, first deployment, no idea what they were going to do, no idea the enemy situation on the ground. I mean, you wouldn't believe the little failures there. There's so many people who should be tendering their resignation right now, and probably a few of them who should be court-martialed and thrown in prison. The best way I could describe it is the threats, it's not like here. People are no crap trying to kill you all the time, and they would do anything to kill you, and they will pay any price to get at you. I mean, I had a suicide bomber blow himself up, you know, I don't know, 5-10 meters from me at a gate once. You know, I never forget seeing his arms blow up, go the wow. body parts that go everywhere, you know, the things you don't think about when you don't see it. But when I saw it happen, I mean, I can only imagine what these kids saw over there. I wouldn't wish that on some 20-year-old kid. You know, do it to me. I'm 37. I've been through it. I've seen it all, you know. That makes my heart hurt, you know. And also the enemy situation. I hear this term ISIS-K, like that's not a thing. That's some made up media thing. So we can tell people that ISIS-K is the enemy of the Taliban. The Taliban really aren't our enemy. That's just pure propaganda. The Haqqani network and Siraj Haqqani owns Kabul. Every fighter that I ever killed there was an Haqqani network fighter. Every time we would fight with them, we would get the intel the next day. You do like, this is really inside baseball. When you fight with them, you do a 15-6 afterwards. It's a report, and you talk to people who are on the ground, who know who it was, human assets, and you get the real skinny on who you're going up against. And it was never Taliban who owned the south of Afghanistan. And the Haqqani network is running wild right now in Kabul. Forget about ISIS-K. I'm telling you this, please take it to heart. It is just a fake name that they came up with so they don't have to pin things on the Taliban. Siraj Haqqani is going to be in the government of Afghanistan. He's got a $5 million bounty on his head. He's one of the world's leader in financing, funding, and training terrorists. And that guy is going to be in charge of something in Afghanistan right now. We spent 20 years there, and I'll end on this. We spent billions of dollars, and we replaced the Taliban with the Taliban. I mean, how can you say anything else but an utter disaster?
Yeah, well said, David. And thank you so much for your service. Oh, and thank pleasure. You for coming on the show tonight. We really appreciate it. What's the best place for people to find you if they want to see more of your work?
I'm everywhere. Town Hall, Breitbart, Conservative Daily, maybe America Out Loud soon. One thing I will say, if you want to connect with me and you're another veteran, David McGrath, 11B on Twitter, please write me a message. If you're feeling anything about what's gone on here in the last 3 weeks, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, please message me. You're a coward if you're really feeling something and you don't reach out to someone. And I'm always here. I got two little kids. I'm up all hours of the night. Please, please, please get in contact with me.
Thank you, David. And thank you for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out and all the other shows over at AmericaOutLoud.com, who celebrated its 5th anniversary this year. And it's been a great relaunch. You can find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Stitcher. We'll see you guys next time. And remember, stand for something or you will fall for nothing.